Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
As of Thursday, Indiana's Occupational Safety and Health Administration has received close to 6,000 non-formal complaints related to COVID-19. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Justin Hicks reports about half are questioning whether a company is really an essential business, as defined by the governor's stay-at-home orders.
In a written statement, an Indiana Department of Labor spokesperson says that's about five times the number of non-formal complaints the agency sees in an entire year. The non-formal complaints can be anonymous, unlike formal complaints, which require a signature from an employee. Questions about whether a business is essential or not are reviewed by an enforcement response team appointed by the governor. As of Monday, the task force has investigated nearly 800 complaints and issued 35 verbal warnings, but no written cease and desist letters. Complaints related to workforce safety are investigated at IOSHA's discretion and could result in a letter to an employer, which they have 7 days to respond to. However, the department says it has no legal authority to declare a workplace emergency or change employer policies regarding infectious diseases. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Justin Hicks.
Around the country, meat processing plants have been forced to close because of coronavirus outbreaks. Take the JBS meatpacking plant in Greeley, Colorado. According to the union there, more than 120 workers have tested positive for the coronavirus, and four have died. Kim Cordova is the president of UFCW Local 7, representing workers at JBS.
These workers only signed up to process meat. They didn't sign up to lose their life over this job.
JBS in Greeley has since reopened, and President Trump has indicated he will invoke the Defense Production Act to keep plants open as part of the country's critical infrastructure. But what about the workers?
For more on protecting workers in a variety of industries, we are joined by NPR's food and agriculture correspondent Dan Charles, business correspondent Alina Selyuk, and senior business editor Uri Berliner. Good to have all three of you here.
Good to be here.
Dan, I want to start with you. Yesterday, one of the biggest meat producers in the country, Tyson Foods, took out full-page ads in major newspapers saying their plants have to keep running to feed the country. That suggests things are pretty bad right now. Give us the lay of the land.
More than a dozen meatpacking plants have shut down, including a few really big ones where the virus just ripped through the workforce. Hundreds of workers got sick. Overall, pork and beef production is down by about a quarter nationwide. Hog farmers are frantic. Some of them have nowhere to send their animals with the processing plants shut down. No room for them on the farms. They're talking about euthanizing animals. But the question is, under circumstances could these plants start up again? I mean, how far apart would the workers need to stand? If they're still standing close together as usual, maybe these plants can only operate safely if every worker gets tested to make sure none of them are spreading the virus. The main union that represents workers in this industry issued a demand today saying that these workers should be designated temporarily as first responders, with priority for getting access to testing and also protective equipment.
Interesting. And I wonder what that would mean for other people working at supermarkets and warehouses and fast food drive-through restaurants that have stayed open. I mean, Alina, many of those businesses are actually hiring right now. How are they dealing with worker safety?
Well, some of the workers have been very vocal to say that they haven't dealt that well. To follow Dan's point, the unions there have also called for these workers to be called first responders with priority access to testing and equipment. The workers have pointed out that lots of stores and warehouses have had coronavirus cases. Some workers also have died. Here's Rachel Belt. She's an Amazon worker from a warehouse in New Jersey talking on an advocacy call yesterday.
What we need is for Amazon to not only be a little more humane, but we need them to step it up safety-wise, we need them to step it up cleanliness-wise, and we need them to act like they care about us.
What has Amazon and other similar big companies said about this?
Yeah, well, Amazon and many other companies have maintained that they do care quite a bit about their workers, that they are taking extreme measures that are far and beyond what they've ever done before. In Amazon's case, they say they're far and beyond what other retailers are doing. It did take a few weeks for all these essential companies to scale up safety measures. They did start providing masks and gloves, and a little bit later decided that masks should actually be required. Grocery stores had put up plexiglass shields around cash registers. Later started limiting hours of their opening. They have started checking workers' temperatures when they clock in. Workers to this day are still protesting. Target, Whole Foods, Instacart, lots of companies demanding better working conditions, more ways to take time off without losing pay. And they're saying if there is a coronavirus case in a store or warehouse, that facility should be closed, not reopened.
Okay. And to expand the conversation to office workplaces, Uri, I know you've been looking at whether these employers are ready to reopen. What's happening in those kinds of work sites?
Right. Well, many companies with offices are going to be really cautious about reopening. You know, that's what I'm hearing from business leaders and management consultants. You know, think about it. A lot of white collar jobs can be done on the computer and the phone. They're being done remotely right now. So there's not going to be any urgency to bring those workers back and potentially risk their health. You know, doing that could potentially raise liability issues if companies order their workers back and some of them get sick, especially if it's a job that could have been done remotely anyway.
When offices do reopen, what are they going to look like? I mean, what will be different?
It's going to be strange, that's for sure. It's going to be awkward. The office culture that so many people are used to, chats by the water cooler in the hallways, that's going to change, at least for a while. There may be temperature checks when you go to work. Your colleagues may be wearing masks at their desks, staggered shifts, so there are fewer people in the office. And the entire physical workplace may be re-engineered. I spoke with David Lewis. He's the CEO of an HR consulting company called Operations Inc. He's been on a lot of these meetings, and he says there's just so much to figure out, like what to do with those open offices that have become so common in recent years.
You're going to have to pull out the tape measure and start taking a look at where you've got proximities. You're going to need to provide some, I would view as formal education to your employees to change behavior about where they walk when they head in a particular direction, about how close they get to individuals. The kitchen, to me, the pantry in a company, is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, so kitchens, pantries, those are places where people normally interact a lot. You've got food, dishes, you can understand the concern there.
So those are questions that companies are going to have to answer inside their workplaces. But what about the things they don't have control over, what you know their workers do outside of the office?
Well, one big thing is whether there are going to be rules, sort of baseline safety requirements about reopening. What are they? Who's going to set them? The federal government or the states? And then there's childcare. I can't stress enough what a big deal this is for employers. How can companies ask their employees to report to the office if the kids are home and the schools are closed or the summer camps are shut? This is a huge obstacle to reopening, and that's another reason why if those organizations where remote work is possible, many employees will continue to work from home for a good while longer, and that probably means months, not weeks.
Huh. Well, there are lots of other types of businesses that have also been shut down. I mean, I'm thinking like department stores and malls, auto plants and factories. Alina, how are they planning to reopen?
Well, across the board, it's fair to say they're realizing they will not reopen as soon as they'd expected. Auto plants, as you mentioned, a big portion of auto workers are part of a powerful union which has resisted returning to work so far, and it's still in talks about a future date. In retail, clothes have taken a big hit. People stopped splurging, you know, and you don't have a salary or really anywhere to go in these clothes. And so some companies like Gap are starting to warn that some stores may never reopen. They just might not make it. Malls and department stores broadly are starting to look at reopening their doors, but again, maybe taking some of the measures Uri mentioned, masks, temperature checks, shorter hours, limited number of people, all to keep people safe.
And Dan, just in our last 30 seconds or so to end where we began, what is the latest on whether President Trump will invoke the Defense Production Act to get meatpacking plants running again?
He says it will. He said earlier in the day it would solve any liability problems that companies might have, which suggests maybe it would protect them from getting sued for endangering workers. It's not clear, like, what level of safety it would require, though.
All right. And we should also mention Amazon is a financial sponsor of NPR. We've been talking with NPR's food and agriculture correspondent Dan Charles, business correspondent Alina Selyuk, and senior business editor Uri Berliner. Thanks to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Many shoppers, maybe even you, keep thanking the workers who ring them out at supermarkets. These people who work at supermarkets, warehouses, and for delivery companies are considered essential during the coronavirus pandemic. But those workers say their jobs have always been essential. Now they are seizing their moment of leverage, demanding paid sick leave, better pay, and benefits.
If we don't get it,
shut it down!
If we don't get it,
shut it down! If we...
NPR's Shannon Bond, who covers gig workers, and Alina Selyuk, who covers retail, have our story. Shannon starts us off.
Willie Solis has discovered something about himself during the coronavirus pandemic. It turns out he's a labor activist.
I have never done organizing in my life. I see myself falling into this as a freak accident.
This was Solis becoming a public voice of workers at Shipt, a grocery delivery app owned by Target. This month, using Facebook, he helped stage a walkout, organizing workers spread across the country, all from his home in Texas. This was a huge change for Solis, who had stayed on the sidelines of protests at other companies like Instacart.
I just didn't see a group of people being able to take on a company that big.
But now, after Shipt changed its pay formula yet again, this time during a pandemic, Solis couldn't stay silent any longer. I've been hearing a lot of stories like this from other gig workers feeling agitated during this crisis.
And I can tell you, in retail and warehousing, fast food, the pandemic has also sparked a new high-profile wave of protests and strikes.
Instacart workers planning a nationwide strike.
Amazon workers.
Whole Foods employees.
The McDonald's workers.
It's a mounting chorus of people facing the same struggles, whether their job is in a warehouse or factory, behind the wheel or at the cash register.
These jobs are different, but their conditions unite them. Unreliable income, unpredictable schedules, limited health care and benefits.
Until now, their battles have largely played out on separate stages. But the coronavirus is shining a single wide spotlight on all this low-wage work. And organizers are seizing this moment.
We are the same people that they didn't think we were worth $15 an hour, but now realize that we are worth way more than that.
Cynthia Murray has worked at a Walmart in Maryland for 19 years. She's part of a worker advocacy group called United for Respect, which she says early on realized it couldn't just be about unionizing. Low-wage workers are dispersed, often part-timers and temps, jobs come and go. So the big focus was on pay, and broadly it worked. A historic wave of labor activism during a booming economy pushed many states to raise their minimum wages. But workers like Murray are still agitating for more protections.
They say we have protected sick time. I'm a 19-year associate. I have to work more than a week in order to get 1 hour of sick time.
Paid sick time is a top priority for the gig workers I'm following, too. They're newer to the labor fight. They work alone, mostly from their cars, with no water coolers to gather around. So the workers have turned to something they know well, apps. Working with union and non-union organizers, they're airing their grievances on social media and in the press to reach people that rely on their work.
The reason we did the walk-off now is because we were hoping we would have an impact.
Sharon Goen is technically retired. She used to own a bar in Las Vegas, but she has to keep working. She makes deliveries for several apps, mainly groceries for Instacart.
They act like, you know, we're, what do they call us, hometown heroes or whatever, but they don't acknowledge us. And the only way they're going to make an impact with us is if they pay us what we deserve.
The company's responses have been mixed. Instacart, Amazon, Walmart, and others have been distributing gloves and masks, offering bonuses and new options for time off. They say the protests are very small. Amazon has even fired several activist workers, saying they broke rules.
But for many workers, this is the fleeting moment when the world sees their so-called unskilled labor as hero work. People are thanking these workers in the same breath as nurses and doctors. Employees at supermarkets and food plants have died. Even though their low-paying jobs were never supposed to be about life and death, Bartolome Perez says now they are.
Estamos entre la vida y la muerte.
Perez is a cook at a McDonald's in Los Angeles, been there 30 years. He's a longtime activist, has been on strike before, but the one this month after a coworker tested positive for the coronavirus, it felt different.
Por saber de que cada vez que salís...
Because you know that every time you go out, it could be your last, or it could be the most expensive hamburger you make in your life.
Perez, like Solis from Shipt, says the health crisis has fired up more workers to stand up and publicly speak out.
But how much time do they have? Labor experts warn that historically, organizing and making demands becomes harder when unemployment skyrockets, like now, when people are desperate for work.
On the flip side, as one labor professor put it to me, if you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. For NPR News, I'm Alina Selyuk.
And I'm Shannon Bond.
Workers at some big companies went on strike today, among them Walmart, the delivery app Instacart, and Amazon.
This company failed us. It failed the workers. It failed me.
That is the voice of Christian Smalls right outside an Amazon warehouse on Staten Island. He worked there until recently. Smalls and other protesters say their jobs have gotten dangerous during this pandemic, and they want the companies to do more to protect them. NPR's Shannon Bond has been following these protests and joins us now. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Elsa.
So give us a sense of what these protests looked like how many people turned out.
Well, organizers tell me that thousands of workers said they were going to take part in this general strike. And today is a notable day. It's May 1st, International Workers' Day. Around the world, It's typically a big day for labor activism. And there were these protests outside several Amazon warehouses around the country. But, you know, it's also kind of hard to gather a lot of people together right now.
Right. I mean, how do you even stay 6 feet apart from each other on a picket line?
That's right. So a lot of these actions today are actually employees calling in sick. They didn't show up to work. And gig workers who deliver groceries for apps like Instacart and Shipt, that's an app owned by Target, they're also at home. They're not accepting orders on those apps. So some of this protest is kind of invisible.
Interesting. Well, tell us, what do these workers want specifically from these companies?
Yeah, well, they have some immediate demands related to the pandemic. They're asking for more protective gear, like gloves and masks, more cleanings of stores and warehouses. They want to be able to take more time off with pay if they get sick or if they're at higher risk of COVID-19. I talked to Carrie Blair today. She's a mom of 5 kids in Akron, Ohio, and she delivers for Shipt to make extra money. But she says right now it's just not worth the risk to go out. She says that's the case for lots of workers, and that's why they're all coming together today.
People who work at Whole Foods, at Target, at Walmart, there's no way to get around not being around people. That is your job. People are in and out of those stores all day, every day. And I feel like that's us, too. We're out there in the public doing things for other people.
These workers are also asking for more transparency. They want companies like Amazon to disclose how many workers have gotten sick. So we know from employees that that number is likely in the dozens at least, and some workers have even died. But the company hasn't given a full picture. And finally, the protesters are calling on shoppers to boycott these stores and apps.
And have these companies done anything to address these concerns?
Well, across the board, the companies say they value input from their workers. They also say that these protesters are a small group. They don't reflect the majority of workers. And the companies say they've done some things. They are paying workers more than before the outbreak. They're taking more health and safety precautions. They're doing cleanings, handing out masks, disinfectants. Amazon just this week said it would spend about $4 billion, its entire operating profit in the second quarter, dealing with the coronavirus. So that includes protective equipment, higher pay for workers, cleaning those warehouses, testing employees for the virus. And we should note that many of these companies are NPR financial supporters.
I mean, is it fair to say that these workers have a point, meaning that these companies are doing pretty well right now, in part because these workers are out there on the job while the rest of us are all at home?
That's right. You know, they really are doing well. Let's take Amazon. It just reported its latest financial results. Unsurprisingly, it made a lot of money in the first 3 months of the year, $75 billion in sales.
Wow.
And Amazon's on a big hiring spree to meet all of this demand. We're all ordering a lot of things. It hired almost 200,000 people to work in warehouses in March and April. And that's the thing that troubles many of the workers I'm talking to. These jobs, you know, we don't think about them a lot, and they don't feel like the companies value them. Right now, the whole world agrees they're doing essential work. So the workers want to make the most out of this moment when they feel like the public is behind them.
That is NPR's Shannon Bond. Thank you, Shannon.
Thanks, Elsa.
Earlier this year, the jobless rates for Black and Latino Americans were near record lows. Coronavirus has changed that as the first round of layoffs fell hardest on minority workers. NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports on why many are so vulnerable on the economic side of this crisis.
Until a few weeks ago, Melissa St. Hilaire worked for a family in Miami on the night shift taking care of a 95-year-old woman.
I help her to go to the bathroom, use the bathroom, and I watch TV with her, and I comb her hair sometimes in the night.
But one day in March, the woman's daughter told her not to come back, saying she wanted to protect her mother during the coronavirus pandemic. That put St. Hilaire in dire straits. She was able to delay her rent payment. She describes the conversation with her landlord.
I explained to her my situation. She said, okay. She understood my situation. She gave me more days. 2 weeks before, I was out of food. That's crazy.
St. Hilaire and her six-year-old son had nothing to eat, so they got help from a local aid group. St. Hilaire is Black and a Haitian immigrant, and she's part of what the first data from this crisis have shown, that people of color have lost work at greater rates than white workers. A big part of that is because of which industries the job losses are happening in, according to Benga Ajilori, senior economist at the left-leaning Center for American Progress. He spoke to NPR via Skype.
We know which industries are being hit the hardest. So we look at leisure and hospitality, transportation, utilities industries are the first ones that were hit really hard. We also know service, so even think hairdressers, salons. We know which ones are getting hit hard, and we know who's in those occupations.
It's disproportionately workers of color. And in the case of domestic workers like St. Hilaire, it's women of color. Nearly three-quarters of domestic workers were out of work in recent weeks, according to a survey from the National Domestic Workers Alliance. Similar patterns show up in industries hit hardest by the coronavirus slowdown. Black, Asian, and Latino workers, for example, are all disproportionately represented in the hotel industry. And Latino workers like Eric Velasquez have heavy representation in restaurants.
I've been working in the restaurant industry since I was 16. As soon as I was able to apply for a job, and I grew up with a single mother taking care of her two kids and her mom. So ever since I was young, I knew I had to like kind of help out.
After college, he went back to restaurant work, eventually becoming head bartender at a Greek restaurant in Houston. But once coronavirus spread, the restaurant bar didn't really need tending anymore. Velasquez has managed to find a temporary job, helping his fellow laid-off workers. He's a caseworker now at the Southern Smoke Foundation, a nonprofit that supports people in the restaurant industry. And he sees racial and ethnic gaps among the people he's helping.
Everybody in the restaurant industry is hurting right now, but more so it's the people that you don't really see when you go into a restaurant. It's the back of the house workers, you know, the immigrant community, the people of color.
There's also evidence that Black and Latino workers are less able to work from home than white and Asian workers. If all this persists, it could make existing inequalities worse. The unemployment rates for Blacks and Latinos are always higher than the broader national unemployment rate. Wages for Blacks and Latinos are also lower than for other groups. Ajilori thinks it was easier to ignore these types of gaps when the economy was humming along with record low unemployment. Now, the economic crisis brought about by the pandemic is holding a magnifying glass to those gaps.
Once this pandemic hit, then it's like you see the cracks in the structure.
And the more coronavirus widens those cracks, the harder they will be to fill. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
I missed a rewind there. I thought about it. They said the unemployment rates are always higher for Blacks and so-called Latinos. Always. How is it that they're always higher? Are the Negroes just always lazier than white people? Like, how is it that always? Like, you can bank on that. Like, oh yeah, no doubt about it. Negroes are going to be much more unemployed. Mm-hmm. Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, May 1, 2020. So I have been told we should be here tomorrow. Compensatory call-in. We'll review what went down over the last week. I'm going to try and see if we can get some folks from different parts of the world, in addition to our Global Sunday Talk on racism. We'll get that back for May as well, hopefully. But talking to different people around the world, I think also would be really important during this time period, just to check in. I feel a mild level of disgust, feeling like that is part of the context of white supremacy's duty to make some effort to contribute logical, accurate information during this time of crisis. And I think being able to talk to people in different parts of the world helps with that, because you get to hear different health perspectives. What are doctors saying in different parts of the world? Do people think this is fake? Which population is it impacting? Differences in stimulus, all of that, all of that. Are people out protesting in the streets with guns about the lockdown? Are they doing that in France? They are rioting in France directly about black people. If folks want to check something totally unrelated, I'll see if I can do it. Yeah, totally unrelated. You can go to France 24. I think they even had a report in the New York Times this past weekend, but they were doing the lockdown and they were going out to the suburbs. They do it over there. They have the Negros, the dark people, out away from like the center of Paris. And so they were doing the lockdown aggressively, and they went out to the side. What are you niggers doing out here? The Rona will get you. And, you know, nigger knockers and going upside their head. And so the black people started protesting, and they had riots. This was just within the last, like, 7 days in France. We'll try and get some folks on internationally. Anywho, this is our broadcast weekly forum on neutralizing workplace racism. This is not a broadcast for spectators. This is not a broadcast for spectators, and particularly at this time, you know, regardless of how things conclude, hopefully well and as soon as possible. But I think, you know, this will certainly be something that people look. I mean, you see, they keep referencing the Spanish flu from 1918, over 100 years ago. They keep referencing that, and the bubonic plague centuries ago, and, you know, other pandemics. This will be mentioned. So when it is, whammo, you can make sure that you contribute to the timestamp discussing how white supremacy racism impacted all of this, what your experience was. I think that's really important, particularly since there's so much chaos and confusion in the middle of all of this. Anyway, I think it's especially important in the workplace because this is so many aspects of labor economics. Workplace safety, something that we talk about all the time. You heard so many folks in the clips, particularly meatpacking, like, my goodness. I mean, that's why that became, you know, so big that President Trump, you know, made that order to say, hey, this is an essential business and we can't have meat shortages, even though that has been predicted. There were a number of reports in many outlets, like Not Alex Jones and conspiracy theory type things, like widespread outlets saying, uh-oh, this could, you know, there could easily end up being a meat shortage here in Washington. They had a plant, Washington State, they had a meat packing plant. I think it was a Tyson. I could be wrong about which brand, but it was a meat packing plant. And they said that over 100 employees tested positive for the coronavirus, and they shut the plant down, and, you know, they're worried about contagion. And there were lots of different scares like this throughout the country. They had the one in Iowa, I think, a few days back, and the president, you know, with so many, was like, wow, this could be a national problem. And he issued the essential order, and the racism, white supremacy there, these are low-wage jobs. And so you have a lot of non-white people, even non-white people who were not born in this part of the world, who are working in cramped conditions, not social distancing. Maybe you get a mask. Maybe you get gloves. Maybe you don't. Maybe they have, you know, extra hand washing stations or extra hand sanitizer. Maybe they don't. Incidentally, I could take this opportunity to, you know, do my shill for plant-based eating, and, you know, Dr. Layton said all this, you know, could have been avoided if we were all just eating plants. But there are reports where produce pickers, farm workers are reporting similar problems where they don't have adequate protective gear. They don't have adequate distancing. A lot of times these are non-white people, sometimes born in this part of the world, often not, where they are bused to the location where they're going to do the picking. And they're on the mode of transportation has them in very tight quarters, so they're not social distancing. So there are some of the same concerns. However, I have not heard of one like a farm or one like batch of produce that has been contaminated, or one farm that has been shut down, an orchard that has been shut down where a bunch of, you know, workers were contaminated. I think a lot of times if you're doing produce work, you're going to be outside. So that might help with a little bit better ventilation. But there are a lot of packing plants where they have been shut down, or it's been a ton of workers who have reported that they have been contaminated, and all the rest. So, yeah. Lots to be mindful of in terms of workplace safety. That's something we talk about on the program all the time. Unwanted touching, something that we talk about all the time. You heard some of the regulations that they were, I'll call it updates, phrase it that way, updates, you know, to the new normal with the virus. And, you know, we got to have precautions and we got to change some things up in terms of distancing. They were talking about going ahead and measuring how much space you have if we're talking like an office setting. And they talked about the pantry, the kitchen area. Now, that's something we talk about on this broadcast all the time. We were talking about that way before we got to the pandemic with this, you know, virus and all that. For me, it would just really strengthen a lot of the things that we talked about before. Not sharing, you know, dishes. I'm not eating anything that people bring to work. I'm not participating in any community food events. So if it's donut day or somebody has baked brownies or whatever it is. And again, that's one where I said, hey, it might be black self-respect. I might think, you know, differently. If I'm the only black person there, it's just a bunch of race soldiers, and they want to bring in food, they want to, you know, contaminate themselves, I'm not eating it, you know. I might feel differently about speaking up. But, I mean, if it's other victims there, I'd probably say something about that. Like, you know, and you could put it in the form of a question. Is this the best practice for workplace safety for us to continue to have potlucks or, you know, donut Wednesday or whatever it is, you know, people bringing in food? Is this the best policy for workplace safety in the midst of a global health crisis? Hopefully we all get paid enough that we have food, right? It's not like you got people starving around here and they're, you know, dependent on Donut Tuesday for their only source of calories for the day, right? That's not the case, right? So we can all, another question, we all have enough coins to get lunch, yes? Okay. Another question. But yeah, you can just put that in the form of a question. Anything else, really? People were sitting together really close. Anything that would involve, just anything that would seem, that seems like it would be out of place and jeopardizing safety in the midst of what is happening right now. Anything that encourages not taking this seriously. Let's see. And the stress, I wanted to make sure I didn't miss that as well. They were talking about just the agitation. I think we had a number of reports where they said people in the workplace might not be as patient. You might have more nitpicking, arguments, cursing, people, what they say, fly off the handle, might happen a little more easily. As I said, that would be something that I might be proactive about. I might speak up in advance and just, you know, hey, I know a lot of people are under stress, you know, if they're having problems with their family or if they got children, worried about their job, lots of things for people to be stressed about for the time being all over the world. That does not mean we can loosen our professionalism. If anything, maybe this is the time for everyone. Let's make sure that we boost our professionalism, because we're stressed, our clients are going to be stressed, everybody is stressed, everybody is a little bit on edge and probably a little less patient than they would normally be, than we were before all this started. So, you know, let's keep that in mind, and, you know, just, we're not going to be cursing at folks, we're not going to be calling people nicknames and that sort of thing. If you feel like you're getting upset, same things I recommend here. Hey, you can step away, take a break, step outside, get some fresh air, take your mask off, whatever it is. But this is not going to be an excuse to take out our frustrations on our coworkers, people that we work around, because I can see a whole lot of racism with that, where black people just get cursed out and yelled at, and that just gets blamed on the Rona. Like, oh, just, you know, my nerves are a little jangled. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to call you a coon. Let's see. The number, since we are not spectating, the number 605-313-5164, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Two things quickly. Three things. If you're not able to dial in the email untiljustice@gmail.com, we can read your commentary on the air. If you're concerned about being identified, we can, you know, make sure you're anonymous. If you have either suggestions or just general contributions that you want to contribute, untiljustice@gmail.com. The portion about safety that included, as I said, you know, there was a meatpacking plant right here in Washington State. They said over 100 employees tested positive for the coronavirus. They were talking about what is the protocol, you know, because they were saying in some of these instances, these were meatpacking plants I'm talking about, in some instances, employees were testing positive and they weren't saying anything. Now, that, you know, has come up on the program where people have been saying, hey, I work on a job, we've been there, and then all of a sudden we get an email saying, uh-oh, Heather tested positive for COVID-19. She's not, you know, working right now. We wish her the best. Might send around a little envelope if you have a little extra change. You know, you can throw that in. We'll have donuts out on Thursday, and bravo for everybody. Whoa, wait a minute. Do we all need to get tested? Like, has the place been sanitized? Like, or sometimes they don't even say it was Heather. They'll just say we had an employee who tested positive. So you don't know if it was, you know, Heather who sat right next to me. You don't know if it was Bill who brought donuts the other day. You don't know if it was Theodore from the fourth floor. I mean, that sort of nonsense has reigned throughout this whole process. It's been another reason why a lot of folks have said, hey, for a lot of the essential workers, so-called, and people who have not had that luxury of just being able to hang out, sit at home, prop their feet up, order a whole lot of stuff from Amazon, telecommute, as they say, people that have had to go out, like, wow, what a danger. No safety protocol at all. Again, why black self-respect, speak up. Use your voice. Address it and put it in the form of a question. Workplace safety. Workplace safety. Hazard pay, too. I think we had a number of folks who were talking about they were being, their employee or employers were being vague, ambiguous about bonus situation, hazard pay. All of this should be in writing. Like, man, if you use your recorder, I would want it recorded that, yes, you are eligible for hazard pay as of this date. This is what it's supposed to be. All of that. Ideally, I would want it in writing. If you can get an email of that, whammo, that's perfect. But if they, you know, give you a hard copy, no problem. Take your phone, take a picture, bam, have that in your records. That is immediately in your workplace folder. But that's not something that I would want to be vague, not clear. Even the safety policy, like what are we supposed to have? Are we supposed to have gloves, masks, sanitizer, sick pay, all of that? Like, they are really good at updating policy and procedure. Let's get that updated in writing. All of our, you know, rights to make sure that we, you know, safely make it through the Rona crisis. That's it. We'll get to a few of the emails. No, also they talked about the massive number of folks who have lost their jobs and the disproportionate impact that this is having on black people. There was a report talking about how black businesses, talk about black businesses all the time, black entrepreneurs all the time, say that all the time, said that for years. Just being a so-called black entrepreneur, that does not in any way rescue you from the system of white supremacy. This is a painful illustration because they have said a whole lot of black people, 90%, I don't have to be vague about the number. They had a report on thegrio.com yesterday. They put the number on it. I don't have to be vague. I underestimated roughly 95% of black-owned businesses shut out of coronavirus relief. April 30th, Beva Adams. The Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, administered by the Small Business Administration, has shut black and women-owned businesses out of the $349 billion relief fund. Now, when they say black and women, I think they might mean white women. I'm not generally a fan of the GRIO. Anyway, according to a report by the Center for Responsible Lending, upwards of 90% of businesses owned by people of color have been or will likely be shut out of the Paycheck Protection Program. The fund was depleted within 2 weeks of its launch. Controversy has surrounded it as businesses like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, which received $20 million from the fund despite enjoying more than $42 million in profit last year. The company is returning the funds after receiving backlash, allegedly returning the funds. Allegedly. Now, if you got $20 million, I wouldn't care if you are a billionaire. If you legally got $20 million, are you going to give it back? Rona crisis. We got, you know, lots of distractions. You got white people out marching in the streets with guns. Lots of things to, you know, take your attention. And a whole lot of people got I think the Lakers might have even gotten, you know, a Rona stimulus check. I think they might have said the same thing that, oh, yeah, we'll send it back. Again, I wouldn't care if you were a trillionaire. You got $20 million given to you legally. You going to give it back? It's not an accident. You would have the steakhouse, the meat industry, talking about they're struggling. They don't even know if they're going to have steaks, and they got their Rona check. It's not an accident. Black people, guaranteed, they always have higher levels of unemployment, and 95% black-owned businesses shut out of the Paycheck Protection Program. Not a coincidence. That is the system of white supremacy. Let's see. We'll do one email. I'll see if I can be cool enough to get through all the emails for folks who wrote in this here week. All righty. Be in Toronto. Global Session, that very important. Talk to different folks, different parts of the planet. I hope you, family, friends, callers, and listeners are staying safe and healthy during this pandemic. Trying our best. Here's my report for the week. My experience at the plantation continues to unfold with staff demonstrating insubordination, outright lies against me, and mistreatment. As a result, I have gone up the chain of command to have these matters resolved. During a meeting with my superiors, I was informed that when I use the term, by the way, and, so the word A-N-D in quotations, so use of the terms, by the way, use of the term, and, these are examples of passive-aggressive language. I vehemently disagreed, as there was no evidence to substantiate their claim. I was told that when I use the phrase or term, it implies the individual I say this to are at fault. I again stated that I disagreed and continued to use these terms throughout my conversation with them, to which they did not seem to pick up on. I was accused of being condescending by the staff team, to which I asked for further explanation and was not provided one. When I brought up the example with the staff member who deliberately disregarded my recommendations regarding using the appropriate cleaners as per policy, I was told that my delivery could have been better. When I added that the staff proceeded to place initials of doing the sanitizing with the incorrect cleaner, that's when the conversation began to shift. I was informed by my superiors that another staff member claimed that I told them they cannot do anything right. I asked, when did this conversation take place, and that it never happened. The day I was told of the allegation had taken place, I had evidence that it did not occur. I continued to inform the superiors of examples where the same staff lied about myself and other staff members on the team. I was told that the investigation is ongoing at this time. I relayed concern that I do not know where the animosity is coming from, as I have only worked here for 2 months, and inquired whether others had applied for the job and was turned down and were bitter. I was told no one on the team applied for the position. As an aside, I can only suspect that this is racist intent. So on my days off, I became increasingly familiar with the Occupational Health and Safety Act regarding workplace racism. I also became familiar regarding laws on recording conversations. It is illegal to record conversations when you are not part of the conversation. However, you can record conversations that you are a part of without other party knowing. And lawyers will advise this, especially if the individual is in a vulnerable position. Great to know that information. Again, she is writing in from Toronto, so good to know these rules depending on your geographic location. I have my evidence and have increasingly been collecting evidence as I am in a vulnerable position. One of the superiors involved in the investigation had placed me in a very compromising position. While this person was enforcing an incident report on me, that same day they had dropped a client's medication that would have been an incident report number one on them, and had also told me to rewrite a document where they could place their initials. That is incident report number two on them. I have evidence of this as well in my email as follow-up to the discussions with my superiors. I stated that I would like the actions of staff to cease and desist as they are harming my professional reputation with the company, Plantation. That's the way she wrote it. I also added in the email the same verbiage as outlined in the Occupational Health and Safety Act that states that staff are engaging in a course of vexatious comment and or conduct against a worker in a workplace that is known or ought to reasonably know to be unwelcome, end quote, citing the workplace harassment. I await to hear the results of this investigation. My constructive goal is to seek justice and am prepared to clean house with all the information I have collected to vindicate myself. I have learned a lot since the last horrible plantation I was at. I am still learning, aren't we all? Thank you all for the tools during the Neutralizing Workplace Racism podcast. I am putting them to efficient and effective use. That is the goal. Still learning and hopefully able to use, you know, some portion of this constructively to help us solve problems without creating new problems. Now that is amazing. Passive aggressive language, by the way, A-N-D, and. I would definitely want that explained. What exactly do you mean by passive-aggressive? In fact, I might have to switch that around. So exactly what problem is being caused when I say the word and? And then I would do that one first, and then, okay, now, what problem is being caused when I use the terms, by the way? Do you have specific dates and times when me saying the word and caused a problem? Might have to go at that one that way. As I said, I would definitely want passive-aggressive defined. But I mean, when others use, because and is such a common word, does anyone else in the office use the word and in such a way that it causes a problem? And see what they say. If they say no, so am I to understand it that I am the only person in the office who uses the letters A and D in that order and it causes a problem? that is amazing. I would just have to sit there in amazement, like, wow. And it's a conjunction, yes, and? If I have additional information, should I not share? Like, yeah, am I not allowed to use the word and in the office? Are there any other words that I'm not allowed to use because they cause problems in the workplace? So we got the phrase, by the way, and is there anything else? Any other terms that I should not use? Whew. Let's see. The condescending, that's so common, you know, the intimidating, you're aggressive, you're passive aggressive, all of these like vague accusations that they use to tar, and I'm using that word deliberately, tar black people in the workplace. It's so very common, and you just want specifics, the same way that she talked about here, specific illustrations of what we're talking about. Now, they're saying you're condescending when you're pointing out, oh, wait a minute, I think we have a new protocol for cleaning. Should I not say anything if something incorrect is happening? If I can see a clear violation of policy and procedure, should I not say anything? I should just allow that to continue? Okay, so now we're back. So if I should say something, what should I say? Is it something with the phrasing? Is it just that I said it? Should I not address this person? Should I address someone else, like their supervisor? Like, what is the protocol if I observe something that appears to be incorrect happening? What is the protocol for addressing that? You can just stay in the question lane, stay in the question lane, stay in the question lane. Boop, boop, boop. And this, given what we know about the laws, bam, you can have your recorder. In fact, you can even be, you know, brandish your recorder and ask, is it acceptable for me to record? Wham, slap it out on the table and let's get rolling. We got an investigation. In fact, I'd like this conversation included in the investigation. Is that possible? Question, 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 question. Let's see. Oh, and that's awesome. When you know you're in an environment, well, I won't say it's awesome, but when you know you're in a work environment, that's why I say you take every accusation seriously. You know you're in an environment where it's, you know, highly, flagrantly hostile, and people are accusing you all the time. You did this, you didn't do that, you looked at me funny, you said in an aggressive manner, all of that. Then you really want to make sure you have detailed notes when you got to work, when you left, lunch break, all of that. You want to be really meticulous about that, where you were, just document, 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 because you can have things like this happen where you, and I've experienced this, where you get accused of all kinds of things and you have to go, oh, wait a minute, when did this happen? What date was this? What time was? I wasn't even in the building. And I've had the same thing with the he's aggressive. Had that one too. That's super common for black people. Michelle Obama said that about him. President Obama. Black people all over the world. You're intimidating. You're condescending. You're militant. Aggressive. Almost a rapist. Allison Manswell, she said that sometimes she even will tell black males explicitly, she'll tell them to not stand too close. This is before the Rona. She would tell them not to stand too close to white people, especially white women, not to raise their voice too loud, especially if you're a taller, larger black male, because they'll say, oh, you're aggressive, you're intimidating, militant, extremist. Just get them to explain when they start making these accusations and take it seriously so that you have lots of documentation, lots of evidence. This is one where you really have to calm yourself. If you, like, when they come with the original accusation, you know, you've been passive aggressive. You've been saying and in a violent way. You know, you might have to take a step back, say, can I use the restroom? You know, quickly, and I'll be happy to sit down with you and we can go right through this, answer any questions or, you know, go through anything. Just give me one moment to use the restroom. Go to the restroom, compose yourself, you can take some breaths. Whew. Think through some questions, what you want to ask, calm yourself, and then return. Don't feel compelled to where you have to immediately respond, because sometimes that can catch us where we're not really thinking, because, I mean, you could just be caught off guard, like, what? And? When? What are you talking about? Just, woo, to take a moment to get your mind together, let your brain computer calm down, calm your heart rate, calm your breathing, get some oxygen to your brain, and you'll be able to process and come up with questions, because that's one of the best things that you can do. Just at, we got an investigation, well then, man, let's get in query mode. Questions, questions, questions. Where's my recorder at? Questions. Whammo, hit the record. Okay, questions, and questions, and questions. And, uh-oh, I said and about five times. Uh-oh, did that cause some problems? And you just go right, you just go right there. Folks have suggestions for how they would deal with all of these accusations in the workplace. You're intimidating, you're passive aggressive, all the rest of it. The number again is 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If you have suggestions, or if you have your own situation to share, workplace safety especially, if it's being taken seriously, all of this, that we're in a global health crisis, if it's being taken seriously or not, that's definitely something to report on, and how folks are behaving in the work environment. Or if you are still cool enough to be at home, that is grand as well, how that whole experience is going, or if you've been disrupted, if this is, you know, disrupted your schedule. I know for some folks, they said that they were on unemployment, or they had shortened hours, or just, you know, totally different works routine as a result of all this. I know this is, you know, as I said, caused a lot of problems for a lot of different folks. Let's see. We'll hit the phone lines. I'll read some more of the folks who wrote in as well. Let's see. Red in Ohio should be with us. I forgot Ohio on the map today. I'll have to look at it again to see if Ohio is one of the places that's still under lockdown. Are you all still under lockdown? Are you all reopened? What's your all status?
Hello. No, yes, we're still under lockdown. And actually today in the workplace, right, not that long before we left, we had like a quick stand-up meeting, and they actually passed out masks. They gave us some disposable ones that we're supposed to put in bags and reuse after every 3 days. So that's the latest development, but I don't know if you want me to share my other observations, or I can wait.
Oh, sure. Let's hear them. Let's hear them.
So, besides the mask thing, and it seems like the workplace, they're only implementing precautions when the government, then that's what their words were, like, oh, well, we're doing this because the government said. But that's the only time that they're actually doing anything to protect the workers. Still observing the custodial staff, in particular this white woman who is a custodian, and she's actually the one who I observed not really wiping anything down, contrary to their email. Also, this, I heard I kind of felt like it was a distasteful joke. And it all started because a black female who was sitting in a section not that far away from me, she was spraying Lysol down the aisle where she was, sitting, and I don't sit that far away from two suspected racists, one white man, one white woman, and the white woman had said something to the black female, something about, hey, why don't you, you know, share the spray over here, or something like that, and they kind of like had a chuckle. They have some type of rapport, which I've observed recently. So after they kind of had their little back and forth, I guess a pleasant back and forth, the white man and white woman, they kind of started briefly discussing the Rona, like how everything is crazy, basically stuff like that. I cannot remember their exact words, but what happened with the white man, or once they were kind of like talking about it and like, oh, well, this is kind of crazy and, you know, all these different precautions and everything like that, the white man was like, oh, well, I've had the Rona 4 times now. And they, you know, had a little laugh, and they, the white man, and the white woman, she said, like, what? Basically something like that. And the white man was like, oh, yeah, coming in and out of the building, you know, not had it. But, of course, he was joking, but still, just kind of their lackluster, or his lackluster approach to everything that's happening. I guess the last thing that I'll mention, I can't remember if I mentioned it before or not, but when I was listening, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because yesterday from the book club, it was, I guess there was talk about like breastfeeding, and this black female, I remember her telling the story about how she was discouraged from breastfeeding because she wasn't really given the proper area to sit in. She actually had to use like a common area and like a cafe or something like that. And she had a sign up at the entrance kind of letting people know, hey, it's in use, because she needed the pump there. And someone, she didn't say who, a male, had decided to just disregard the sign, walk right in. And he was like, oh, well, I just came to get some coffee. And that really discouraged her. So, and to bring it like to, recent times, like I was actually cleaning my breast pump, components in the common area where like employees can use the sink. And this white woman was observing me. I didn't realize it, but she apparently had been observing me for quite some time. And she finally decided to, she finally decided to say to me, oh, well, you, that must be a, she said something, I can't remember her exact words, but she said, that better be a cute baby for you to go through all that. I watched you, you know, clean all these components for at least 10 minutes every day. And I mean, I don't know if she was expecting me to show her a picture or something, which I didn't, but I'm like, yeah, you know, well, yes, I, you know, I feel whatever type of way about my offspring. So she then proceeds to ask me, I guess that was her way of opening up conversation about, well, what her family members have done with breastfeeding or whatever. And she'd ask me, oh, well, can I ask you a personal question? And I said, it depends. And she was like, well, how often do you clean your components, and going on about whatever her relatives were saying. So it's kind of like, you know, for no reason, needed to ask me all this information. And I decided, you know, to not be a spectacle or something to, for this white woman to, you know, watch while she's eating her lunch. I decided to just use this other room so I can kind of take care of what I need to take care of in peace. I guess the last thing actually is, I had observed someone in upper management, really, again, this is another white person, not taking, you know, the whole washing their hands thing seriously, because for whatever reason, I decided to count how long, whenever I'm waiting for the sink, I decided to count, you know, in my head, how long these people are washing their hands, just in case if I am coming up behind them, touching something, not saying that I'm still not as cautious as I would normally be, whether they wash their hands for a minute or for 2 seconds, but just to kind of keep a tab or whatever. And the person washed their hands for literally 5 seconds and just walked off. I guess they were in a hurry. So I don't know. It seems like the suspected racist, they are either joking about it or, you know, not even taking their own personal hygiene seriously. So I'll leave it there. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Much obliged, Red in Ohio. This will be fun. I'll see if I can do this as people share today. So in Ohio, according to the New York Times, they report the stay-at-home in effect since March 23rd and set to expire May 29th. So you got a whole month of lockdown to go. Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican whose lockdown approach has been among the most aggressive, has said he plans to extend his stay-at-home order in some capacity after the current version expires May 1st. His reopening plan begins with certain industries and allows retail stores to reopen starting May 12, but Mr. DeWine said other businesses, including restaurants and salons, would have to wait. We are not quite there yet, he said. So you all are on the stricter side of the lockdown measures in the U.S. Let's see. For the tackiness, I said a few weeks ago they had a report. They were talking about health professionals, medical professionals, and saying before all this that they had a hard time getting them to wash their hands. You talk about iatriatic deaths, people dying in the hospital. Man, maybe it's filthy hands. So I am not surprised at all, because they were saying they were being really aggressive and they had like the PSAs in hospitals, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, all that. So I am not surprised. And particularly, it's been like a month and a half of this now. Like, I'm not surprised for people to be lax about that and, you know, whatever. Like, I'm done with all this. The weather's starting to get warm. They're having to fight people off the beaches and stuff. So, yeah, no surprise. But that's good to be mindful of that you are around people who are joking about this, not really washing their hands. Doesn't look like they're really taking this too serious. The breastfeeding, man. The tackiness, you got to sign up and, you know, whatever. I got to get my coffee. I'm not concerned with, you know, your nigger business, pumping and all that. Like, man, just like the total disrespect. And I mean, you talk about stress, like that impacts the breast milk, you know, when you're stressed and violated in that type of way. Talked about that, yeah, yesterday, the book club. And then, like, the invasive wife, we talked about that, like, man, oh, man, talk about spying. She didn't say, oh, I just saw you today, I didn't even notice. She said, I've been watching you for some time. And she had it down, like, I've seen you for some time, come in here and take 10 minutes, approximately, to clean these components. And then she comes out with, doesn't get any better than tacky. That had better be a cute baby for you to be in here taking up 10 minutes every day doing your washing. That's the best you can come up with. That had better be a cute child. Pardon, but I think it would have been something better, something a little more enthusiastic. Better be. Like, you better not be wasting all this time for some little ugly black child at home. Like, wow. And the nosiness, like, oh yeah, let me ask you some questions, because since I've been spying on you, how often do you clean your component? Even that, like, I think about it, like, is this a hygiene question? Like, is this something where you can sit back and like, oh yeah, I knew it, the nigger only cleans it twice a week, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not very clean. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you even care? Like, are we supposed to be homies and, you know, we're going to talk about the experience of motherhood and bond? Or like, get out of here, man. Like, yeah, I got work to do. That's one of those where I tell anybody, like, feel free to set your boundary. Like, you already know that, you know, I'm not interested in swapping pregnancy stories, breastfeeding stories, like, none of that. This is not Oprah Winfrey. No, like, I don't discuss my birthing experience. Like, you could just come up with a cool little one-liner, like, boop. Oh, no, I don't talk about my birthing experience publicly. Thanks for your inquiry. You could phrase that one a whole lot of ways, but, yeah, not. Don't even think about getting in my business around all that. Let's see. Yeah, just the joking in the work. I don't know if I would. I probably would put that down in the workplace journal, because I do think that that's important. People making those type of jokes in the workplace might be important, especially if there ends up being what they call a second wave and we have another lockdown and all that. People laughing and joking about this in the workplace might be something that I would bring up. Like, let's make sure we're taking this seriously, washing our hands, let's not do donut day, distance, blah, 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 blah. Hazard pay, maybe. Much obliged, Red in Ohio. Other folks who dialed in, if you have thoughts, questions, observations, feel free. Let's see. I will sprinkle in emails as we go. Again, not for spectators. Next email. This is for the callers that work for UPS, FedEx, etc. In my area, prior to COVID, all the drivers were white. I know that the drivers make a good salary, benefits, versus the package handlers. After COVID, all the drivers in my area are now black. I'm just curious if anyone else noticed this and if their salary, benefits, compensation changed because of this. That is an interesting observation. I would have to pay more attention to who is delivering packages. I know even before all of this, there were a lot of black non-white postal workers that I would see throughout the Seattle area. I think most of the main folks that I see on the routes in our neighborhood are not white, black, and non-white in general. And that's been my general observation throughout the city. I'm thinking of U.S. postal workers, UPS. I'm trying to think of some of the other, even Amazon. I know personally some of the folks who do deliveries for Amazon here in the Seattle area, and they're black, so they have a lot of non-white and black people who do that work. That would be interesting, though, if people have noted if there's been a change in the people who are doing that work, if it's the same people doing the work, if you know about the compensation, if we have folks who, you know, are doing that work, has the compensation changed? Are you considered an essential employee? Are you getting sick pay? Are they taking it serious? Do you have protective gear and all the rest of it? That would be good to know if we have folks who are doing any sort of parcel delivery. I know we have a lot of folks who do truck driving. Truckers who have called in and talked about their experience. So that would be good if we have folks who are doing package delivery as well to get that. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. See, folks are spectating a tad. I will sneak in one more email while folks are spectating. Again, not for hanging out. Folks should have, you know, some observations, thoughts to share. Let's see. All right. I think it's black female, victim of racism. Hi, Gus. Some Rona codification when working from home. Interesting. I know we do have some people who are there. Number one, ensure you stick to your work hours. Non-white people do not get away with slacking on the job. I do know some folks who did work from home, and they said they were nagged incessantly, where they had to do, like, hourly check-ins with their, like, supervisor. Like, all right, progress report. What have you done the last 60 minutes? Okay, you got the, did you get this emails and all? Blah, blah, blah. Like, hourly, and I know they had reports where some people they were having to do, like, I don't even remember what it's called, but it was some sort of, like, video surveillance. It's some sort of app that, like, takes a screenshot of your computer work area, like, every, I don't know, maybe 5 times an hour, maybe 2 or 3 times an hour, just to show what you're doing, and your supervisor boss can see that. I know a lot of folks have been subjected to that type of increased surveillance who do get the quote-unquote privilege of working from home. Number two, if required to video conference, make a space in your home where you can set up the laptop solely for this purpose. You do not need to be there at all times, just when video conferencing. This space should be should preferably be set up so the camera is facing a blank wall. That way the camera cannot view anywhere else in the room. That is a great suggestion. The New York Times just today, yesterday, they had a report, and it was focused on what reading material like famous people have in their homes, what their home libraries contain. And they had different Zoom chats and video conferences with these different celebrities where they did a conference in front of a bookshelf and they had zoomed in so they could read, you know, what books they had. That is the system of racism, like paying attention to every little detail. We just heard from Redden, Ohio about, you know, she's under surveillance. I'm just going to clean out my breast pump and she's been watching me for weeks. Got a stopwatch to time how long it takes for me to clean everything. We are constantly under surveillance. So absolutely, I would not want to give any information, get someplace so that they can't snoop and see what you got hanging on your walls, what books you might have, the decor of your house where you might have people walking by. Oh, who's that? Oh, she's got this. Absolutely. You have a dedicated space set up exclusively for that. And even I would say take, if you can take a few seconds before you log on so you can see, like take a look and see what the camera is going to pick up so that you know, okay, this is what's going to be included and nothing else is in the background. And if you can get to an area, even if you have to use like a bathroom, like if you can get to an area, we can be sure that nobody else will be walking by. You don't want your same logic that I use with not having pictures of your family in the workplace. They don't need to see, you know, your offspring or anybody else. Like, that's not what this is for. Like, let's just get through the conference and go on about our day. Number three, always blur the background, even if the camera is facing a blank wall. If you do not know how to blur the background in the video conferencing app, Google it. Still learning. That is a great suggestion as well. Four, if provided with equipment, laptop, mobile, switch them off at the end of your workday. Put them back in the casing. Find a place in your home that you and your family least occupy and leave the equipment there. If that means putting them in a cupboard and closing the door, so be it. You don't want microphones picking up your business. Paranoid, maybe, maybe not. Got your back. That is a fantastic suggestion. I think we've had parents, attempted parents, call the broadcast before, and they've talked about where their offspring got a laptop from the school, right, ostensibly for schoolwork, which is happening now in great abundance, supposedly. And it turned out that they had the microphone on, and they were picking up audio. I don't know, it might have been video as well, but they were picking up audio of what was happening in the house so that they could listen in. So as I said, the system of white supremacy, we are constantly under surveillance. So absolutely, I mean, it should be a super code. If they issue you a laptop or anything, phone, anything, under these crisis conditions, this is not, that's why that possessive adjective, this is not my device. This is not my phone. I'm going to behave like that. I'm going to use it only for that purpose. I'm not doing any other check-in of anything online, my email accounts, anything like that. I'm just using this to do the work. And then exactly as she wrote here with the suggestion, I'm going to shut this off. I'm putting it back in the case. If we got a garage, put it out in the garage. And if you don't have a garage, you could put it in the trunk of your vehicle. That should be safe for most folks unless you, you know, are in an environment where you don't even trust your trunk. But, I mean, there should be a lot of options. Which, like she said, you could put it in a cabinet. You could put it in a drawer. If you have a bathroom that you don't use as much, you could put it there. Like, lots of options. Bam. Shut down. Cased. And this is stashed somewhere until I need it for work again. I also think that's a great recommendation about keep just our work doing my work hours. I think trying to keep your schedule somewhat the same during all this. I think a lot of people who have reported, the people that are working from home, not talking about essential workers who got to go out every day, but a lot of people who have been working from home, that it can be difficult to maintain some sense of schedule because you're just kind of there all the time and you would normally be having to get up in the morning and leave the house and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And now since you don't have to do that, a lot of folks have talked about they just have no sense of time and they're up until really late at night because they don't have to get up, you know, at any time. And so their schedule is just all over the place. I would recommend try to keep your schedule somewhat the same. I don't think it's healthy to, you know, just have that really kind of no schedule where the days and everything just kind of runs together and now you're awake at 5 o'clock in the morning if that's not what you were doing before. Like, I think that's where things can really get out of hand, where you're just eating crazy. Because if you're up until 5 o'clock in the morning, you might want a cheeseburger at 3 a.m. I know how that goes. Very familiar. Try to keep your schedule, you know, as similar as possible. I think that'd be very helpful during all of this. Anyway, number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you have thoughts, observations. Let's see. Caller on the...
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to agree with the person or the email with that talked about working at home, making sure that your place is, you know, make sure it's secure, you use whatever you're supposed to use. And if you have, like, a lot of stuff on the wall, and you're like, oh, I can't take all that off the wall, just go to the store. I mean, you can get a piece of, what's it called, OTAG, a poster board, or some stores, if it's not a food store, I won't go there. Like some clothing or retail stores, they'll have cardboard left over. Most of them will give you one. Well, I need a cardboard box, whatever, and just paint it white. Get some spray paint it white, something. Just put it up behind you. My particular job, they send you everything to do your job, and they send you a backdrop, it's just gray. Even when I had my meetings, like I said, you know, I enjoy my coworkers and we would have, you know, fun on the call and everything. But my background was always white. I mean, well, not white, but the thing that they sent. I don't like anybody that much. So I just left it like that. And, you know, I have scheduled hours, so my hours were easy to maintain because they're scheduled. But yeah, get a routine, schedule hours. I only use it for work. I have my own laptop. And, you know, just do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. I know, I think that Zoom or whatever, you have a choice of picking different backgrounds. Pick the simplest one. Don't act like pretend you're in Hawaii or anything like that. I don't think. Because then, oh, you want to go to Hawaii? Oh, I've been to Hawaii. Nope. You may be nice or whatever. We get along well at work. Have a good rapport, to keep it basic, keep it simple, keep it bland, you know, and for the most part, you know, if they ask, well, it's just, you know, I'm just in a little place to be quiet, you know, it's one thing, well, I should say it's not one thing, and, you know, don't go to the bathroom. They've already had people go into the bathroom and don't take them to the bathroom. I know that stuff seems simple, just like don't inject Lysol. But I guess nowadays things need to be said that you would think were obvious. But I do want to just say I agree with that about the working from home. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Appreciate that. The backgrounds, great advice, lots of easy solutions and ways, you know, if you don't want to take a whole lot of things down from the wall or what have you, to just make sure that that's blurred out. You know, you just don't want to be giving out information about these. If these are people that you would not invite into your residence, no need that they should be getting, you know, an extra inside peek of your house and, you know, what you're doing while we're all, you know, out of the office. Like, yeah, figure out whatever code you need to. Figure it out, bam. Take that serious if you're doing any of the, you know, conferencing, what have you, just having a code about presentation for all that. And the basic background, I dig that too. Nothing glamorous, glitzy. This is not the time to, like, insert photos from your vacation or anything like that. Like, as basic as possible. Like, as basic gets. And yeah, let's just get through this and whammo, close it back up, put it back in the case. If that's, you know, their laptop, get on with our day. Let's see. Number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564 #943#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. We'll do, about 30. I'll have to get through all the emails first, but if folks are just spectating, maybe gearing up to watch Netflix or whatever it is, then we'll do like 30 minutes or so. Let's see. Going through my emails. Oh, man. So our listener in Florida at the courthouse, they actually have a news report of the frickin' Elvis Presley weddings. Oh, my God. They have video and everything. Drive-through wedding window helps couples tie the knot. This is the most disgraceful. Oh, and then they got, are you serious? They have the audacity to have a black male getting married to a white woman. That's the photo that they put out on front in order to announce the what is it, weddings? Drive-through wedding window. It doesn't get any better than tacky. It doesn't get any better than, let's see, it says, love is in the air at the Allahoochee, I think that's it, Allachua, that's it, Allachua County Clerk of Courts, where couples can drive through and leave as newlyweds. Jess Irby, the clerk of court, said, you know, it's such a troubling time. There's so much bad news out there. And so to have something like this, I think it's shedding a little fun, a little lightheartedness, and it's really a nice, fun day. 30 couples called in to secure their spot. Alex and Bill Knoll said, oh, and we're so excited. We've been looking forward to this for a very long time. And all were welcome with their marriage license, a photo ID, and $30. The Knowles newlyweds added, we planned on getting married in December, but with everything going on, we decided to move it up because things just became really important to us, and we know we just want to spend the rest of our lives together. Cowbell. One Tampa couple grabbed the last open spot. Tampa? That's not even, wait a minute, I know... Tampa is like a drive. Like, that's not, maybe retired firefighter or one of the folks can let me know. This is like, Alachua is like in the Gainesville. Yeah, this is north. This is like freaking University of Florida. This is the north part of the state. How are you driving all the way from Tampa? We got a lockdown. We're in the middle of the crisis. How are you driving all the way for not taking this seriously? Let's see. One Tampa couple grabbed the last open spot. Melanie and Sylvester Carmichael said, when you got true love in your life, don't let nobody stop that. What about the restrictions? The Carmichaels say that they will go the distance to make love work. Don't give up. Don't give up on love. Don't give up on your dreams, all because of this pandemic and everything. There's always hope, and you always got to put your trust in God and believe that everything is going to work out. If you're thinking about getting married, start writing out your vows now. In about 2 weeks, on May 14th, the clerk of court's office will be back at it again to wed more couples in its drive-through. Wow. That is the context of white supremacy. I'll share the link. Tacky as can be. I thought Elvis was supposed to be there, too, like when it was explained. Maybe I didn't get it right, or maybe they just didn't have the time. $30 may be skimping to get, you know, Elvis to come out and do some gyrating for the wedding. But, yeah, I thought it was wedding after they close the drive-thru and Elvis comes out and, you know, does a dance or something. Yeah, we'll get the details. But super tacky, continuing. Drive-through weddings down in Florida. I'm going to look at my geography right quick and see, make sure I'm not, you know, telling lies that, you know, Tampa is not exactly close to Gainesville. Like, these folks made a trek. Like, that should, I don't, why did the courthouse even look at that? Like, wait a minute, Tampa, you all need to stay, you know, where you are. Like, this is not, you know, this is not the time to be making that type of trek. You all can, you know, schedule that marriage thing a little bit later down the road. That's opera safety. Let's see. Florida, they are order lifting or reopening in the next week. So stay at home in effect since April 3rd, set to expire May 4th. So they're still under, you know, stay at home. Why are you trying? Yeah, that's what they said. That's irresponsible on the courthouse. They should have said something about that. Let's see. Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican, we talked about it, not Andrew Gillum, will allow restaurants and stores to operate at 25% capacity starting May 4. That's Monday. The reopening excludes Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties, the state's most populous, which have seen a majority of coronavirus cases. Very interesting. So, retired firefighter, you are not out of this. Mm-hmm. You are still shut down. All righty. Much obliged, caller in Florida. I think he might be with us, so we'll be able to check in here directly. Let's see. Retired firefighter should be with us as well. Did you have commentary, sir?
Not right now. I heard you mention about some town in Florida. What was the name of it?
The person that wrote in from the courthouse, they were talking about, they had a news report talking about the drive-through weddings at the courthouse, and they said that people drove from Tampa to the courthouse in Gainesville for the drive-through wedding. And I just said, wow, that's, you know, that's not close at all. Like, that's pretty far. Like, that, if Florida is still under restriction, which they are, like, that should not even be allowed. Like, the folks at the courthouse should have said, hey, wait a minute, Tampa, like, you know, that is, we're under lockdown. Haven't you heard about the virus? Like, no, stay at home and, you know, we'll catch you all later. Like, yeah, I mean, that's, unless I'm misinformed, I just went to double check, but yeah, Florida's still under lockdown. Your area, they said Miami-Dade specifically, you all are staying under lockdown. You all don't even get to get out of it on Monday, like the less densely populated areas.
Yeah, well, you couldn't tell that by looking.
Dang.
As far as traffic. As far as traffic is concerned, or anything like that, basically, you know, you would just be informed, or you would know, okay, I can't go to that particular business, you know, that sort of thing. They can keep track of the businesses more so than the pools of people. So. It may not be exclusive as far as the businesses are concerned, but it's easier to keep track of, okay, that they're not supposed to be open, you know, or, you know, then some of the other ones may be get overlooked in some cases on purpose. The, white people who primary language is Spanish, a gangsterized like that down here. You know, they may look the other way. I can see that happening in certain places. But, yeah, as far as traffic is concerned, you really can't tell if it's some kind of you can't go here type of situation. The traffic is just about normal. They were talking about that on the news yesterday. Yeah. I have no workplace observations, but I'll listen to others, and if there's something that I can help in the means of suggesting, I will.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. I think you had said last week that, you know, it seemed like traffic was picking up and you were hearing the fire trucks and rumblings, like folks were kind of getting out and about a little bit more. They were saying the beaches in a lot of areas were starting to fill up. California, I suspect in Florida too. So not a surprise at all.
Yeah, and the police are killing people. So, you know, they're back to killing people. So, you know, somebody got killed in the area that's called Hialeah about 2 or 3 hours ago. So things are getting back to normal. The only strange thing is you see a lot of people walking around with masks on their face.
Context of white supremacy. Sometimes they got masks and guns these days, but yes.
Right.
And for just for, since we are all still learning, it is approximately 2 hours, a 2 hour drive from Tampa to Gainesville. So could be even more depending on which direction you go, but approximately 2 hours. So I would definitely say, like, yeah, that is not. I don't know if we should be doing two-hour road trips. You got to stop for gas, probably stop to get donuts along the way. Like, that does not seem essential. That could be an error. Let's see. other folks, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you have commentary. Again, we'll do about another 30 minutes or so. We'll go to the end of the hour if folks are just spectating for their Friday evening.
May I be heard?
Greetings, caller in Florida. Much obliged for the update. Is my memory bad? Like, I'm, you know, a victim. I thought it was supposed to be like Elvis was hanging out for the drive-through weddings. Was it a report? Was Elvis supposed to be there?
See, I think the reason they were doing that was on the way they were advertising it on the Facebook page. On the clerk's Facebook page, they had a picture of Elvis on it, and they were trying to do the theme of the Vegas-style wedding. So I guess whoever photoshopped that image together, they did use, like, a picture of a mock Elvis or whatever. But I wasn't sure if somebody was going to actually dress up. So they were planning to do this for a while now. And, that report came out earlier today, and they stayed last night until 11 o'clock at night to do 30 ceremonies because, for 2 weeks, they had to postpone and cancel, really, the ceremonies at that time. So those were the people that were back up from around, like, I guess, early March or something like that. So definitely was tacky. I just couldn't visualize how they were going to do that until they showed it on the news report. So I was like, yeah, I had to send it to you. But I'm not sure how the clerk conducted the ceremonies. I don't know if he was behind the glass or he came outside. They had all the lights and everything. Even said that they provided cupcakes and flowers, all kind of stuff. So as you read that they are going to do it again May the 14th, I think that's going to be on another Thursday. And they had the black female supervisor come in to, I guess, do overtime because she works the same schedule that I do. So it's only supposed to be from Monday through Wednesday of this week. So she came back in Thursday to work from 5 to 11 where they did all of these ceremonies. And another thing I think that has racism in it as well, they had the metaphor tie the knot. So I thought that was fascinating that they headed it with that phrase. And they had, of course, the black female reporter go out and do the interviewing on that. I had some reports I like to share. The first is there was a comment from, of course, one of the CLIC members. I think this is the one that works right now in the department. There's three of them, but this is the only one that I've been working with the reduced staff. She was making a comment about somebody having to ask questions about the tax deed, sales or whatever, or bids for property. And she said, well, you know, why can't they just check it themselves? And, you know, we don't always have to do this and that. And And as I was leaving, she was talking to the general counsel, the attorney, and she says, oh, you know, now one particular lady, the older black lady, like she, you know, she paused with saying black, and she made sure she said it loud enough for me, the only black person in the area, to hear it. And, you know, she had the weird and funny name, and I just couldn't understand what she was saying. So I jot that one down. Another one where she was talking to one of the new people, and the new guy, the white guy, he was like, you know, I get along with everybody, even your little friend, even your friend. So I don't know what that could have been, what that could have meant. So they have this person stocking the machines, the vending machines where a lot of the times they have the expired products. So they tried to get me to do that 2 years ago when the guy was saying, I had to look up the term fair. I had to Google the word fair. If you remember that situation, that was when they were trying to get me to do that work. But my next, I have three more. This one is, it has something to do with working remotely, and I'm not working remote, and I'm quite sure the ward knew this, because I was sitting and I heard her speaking to that same CLIC member, and she was running down a list of who all was working from home remote. So I heard her mention my name, and she's like, yeah, I'm not sure if he's working from home. I just know he's under, you know, the research area. And she looks over and says, are you working from home? Are you working remote? And I said, no, I'm not. And I kept listening. I couldn't help but overhear that apparently someone is overindulging or trying to do overtime. Okay, like get more time because it was pay week, you know, so they was trying to get all of the hours in. And she was like, oh, well, this is too much. This is too many hours. So I think that I'm being criminalized with that question because, number one, the email that was sent that has the schedule from the supervisor, it has an H by people's names. Obviously, you know, me and working from home, H from home. My name doesn't have an H by it, so this person had to know that. So when someone's stealing time, basically, and trying to get paid for more than 80 hours, in that context, you're asking me if I'm working from home. So that's when you have me in mind. See, always doing something criminal. I have two more. It's kind of similar to one of the previous callers about the coronavirus, so-called joke and practicing racism. There was a white guy that used to work in the archives, and he wears like a suit and tie and shirt or whatever. So I guess he was saying, because I was dropping off paper, you know, I had spokes on, you know, morning or whatever. And he's like, you know what, after I leave here, I'm going to go down to archives and see if I can spread the coronavirus to you know, the supervisor over there, which is a black person. And you have at least two other black people over there. So I said, huh. That's all I said, huh. And he says he was going to tell him, you know, you can always wear a suit and tie too, you know. So I just ended up leaving. And I jot that one down too. So these reports are building constantly. And my last one is when I went to the post office, you know, and, you know, I was wearing my mask and gloves, everything good to go. And I get to a counter, and the black female is helping me. She goes to get the mail that I'm picking up from the courthouse. White guy to my right, he was already helping someone. So, you know, I just, you know, spoke whatever. And then a couple of seconds later, he looks at, say, who's that guy in the blue shirt? Because I had on the blue shirt. So I didn't respond. And then he made another comment. He said, well, you're dark. He was about to say dark, right? He said D-A-R. So he cut himself off. And then he continued
talking to the customer. So he was obviously about to reveal something racist, in my opinion. So he said, well, you're not like that. And then he halted, basically, like he stopped talking. But other than that, I'm at a lease, because I say, you know what, I'm going to start documenting in a certain way, because I have other reports, and I'm at 255 since December. So that's the number where I'm at now. And that's all I have for now. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Wow. 255 since December. Jeez. That's what you, I mean, that's the type of thing that they say, like you want an avalanche. That fella up in Michigan, he said he had like 160 recordings of them making racist jokes, disparaging remarks about black people. Like, that's what you want. Piles and piles and piles. Now, this fella that said where he was going to go and infect the black people, he said, I was going to tell them, you can always wear a suit and tie. You can always wear a suit and tie too. Did I hear that right?
Yes, sir. Because he's always wearing that type of attire, and I guess, you know what, I have no idea, because that could have been some double meaning in that. Definitely some racism. Definitely a lot of racism. So I guess that's an area where there is a warehouse type environment, where you have all of these archived records from 1940, 30s. And as far as the environment, it is dusty, got bugs and stuff down there, et cetera, and it's not as well kept. It is where the other two courthouses are. So he's going down there, I guess, you know, with racist arrogance, looking down on people. Basically, that's what it seemed like to me.
I got it. So it's like, I suspect these might be people who do not wear a suit and tie to work, the people that work down in the archives, the catacombs. So he's going to go down and infect them, and then, oh yeah, and you could, you know, you could dress a little better too. You know, you look a little sloppy. You could put on a tie and a suit. Is that kind of the context? Is that kind of what it sounds like it could be?
Yes, sir. Because even when I first started, they're saying, hey, you know, why are you wearing this type of shirt, these kind of slacks? You're down here in the basement with the records and the files. So there's already that mentality just in our building. So the people in the archives is somewhat similar to that where I had started. So yeah, you say he was going over there and letting them know you can always wear a suit and tie too. Because he started over there, and he was wearing the somewhat the same attire. Then he moved to a different courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Those little snide comments, that is so common. Like Mr. Fuller, he talks about workplace elevator insults. Like, man, white people, they sneak in a lot. They might not be in the elevator, but they sneak in a lot of insults on a regular basis. That is being slick about it, too. Like that one right there, like you might not even grasp like what they're exactly talking about. In addition to, he said, oh, yeah, I'm going down there in the first place, go down and infect them with the coronavirus. Either you're joking, not taking this serious. Florida's under lockdown. We just read till May 4th, according to Governor DeSantis. We're joking. Not taking this at the courthouse again. Like, I expect them to be, you know, whatever, using my hamburger bun for roller skates at the McDonald's. Like, I expect them to horse around and not take things seriously. This is the courthouse. And this is how people are behaving? Go and, you know, see if I can infect some of my fellow coworkers with the virus. And then after I've infected them, make sure I get in a few jabs. You look like a slob. Why don't you all dress up down here working in the basement? And they had that report. I think the caller in Chicago had said, perhaps we should be thinking, as opposed to there is no coronavirus, maybe we should be thinking, wow, maybe white people are deliberately infecting us with this. they just had multiple reports where it was a number of racists. They were saying exactly what your coworker said. Like, yes, if you get the Rona, give it to the black people. Go spit on their doorknobs and cough on them and all the rest of it. They had that woman that went and coughed on all the groceries at the store. Like, it's been a number of reports where racists have been saying that. So that would definitely be cataloged. Like, wow, chemical and biological warfare at the courthouse. And these are the same folks where I think he had said before somebody came in and said, oh, yeah, you're COVID-27. Yeah, we got to watch it. Dangerous. We got a contagion right here. Let's see. They're coming in and asking, are you working from home? Now, how exactly am I working from home? And you're asking me the question right here while we're both at work. It would seem I am not working at home, obviously. Then she continues, and they got folks flagrantly stealing hours. Not surprised at all. System of racism. No one does more stealing in creative ways. Like, man, they let their imagination run wild than whites. Anyway, no one does more stealing in the workplace than whites. Anyway, but she comes over, and that the slickness. Are you working from home? This nigger is trying to pile up some hours. He's probably working in. You're going to come in here and see if you can get a double. They're like, come on. Come on. You got the paper. You know what my hours are. There's no H next to my name. Like, come on. And I've seen that a lot of times. The accusations, totally unfounded accusations and sneaky coming around with suspicion. What are you doing? Taking something? What's going on? Got to keep an eye. Get out of here. Let's see. They asked, or when even your friend, when they came around with the vending machine, I didn't know what that meant either. Like, that's why I said, like, a lot of times they'll come around, nobody gets in more insults, because they'll come around and make vague little comments and things like that where you're not even really sure what they meant. Who are they talking to? Who is my friend exactly? Like, what are you talking about? Like, even that, I think a lot of times, just coming around to cause confusion or to make some sly insult that it may even take you a while to figure out what they're saying, what they're doing. All of that. Workplace racism. The tying the knot. Now I could see, like, you know, Florida is infamous for a lot of lynchings of black people, white terrorism. But I could see some folks would say, hey, you know, tie the knot. We've been saying that for a long time. With regards to a metaphor for marriage. And, you know, this is a part of matrimony. It doesn't have anything to do with racism. You know, what would your response be to someone who says, you know, I don't think that has any racist implications? Tie the knot. That's just, you know, a common little cliche way that we talk about weddings.
See, the thing I would say is, the reason I came to that conclusion is when you have things like jumping the broom and many other type of comments that link back to slavery, that would make me as a person that's the descendants of, like, descendant of slaves, think that some racism may be practiced here. But I'm just going to go along with that and have that be my opinion. And I say something like that.
Dig it, okay. Context of white supremacy. Keep logging. 255 and counting since December. That is so embarrassing. And just the conduct of hearing the number of people in different locations who are in locations that are under lockdown, like not areas where they have, you know, reopened things willy-nilly and don't have a problem. The number of folks where they're not taking it particularly serious and are joking about this, talking openly about spreading the virus to other black people. Like, man, when the second wave comes, hopefully it won't, but, you know, folks have been making predictions about this. That would be the sort of thing that I would bring up. Like, it to me, the conduct here in the office and things that people have said, the way they have behaved, suggests that a lot of people aren't taking this serious. Like, let's make sure we should not be joking about this. Let's make sure people are washing their hands and blah, blah, blah. Like, it can be really good if you've been documenting that, what's been happening in the workplace, what people are saying, those type of comments. Like, man, we can do much, much better. We do not want this workplace to be a vector for contagion. Might be happening if folks are walking around here making jokes and laughing, making funnies about all of this as though there's nothing serious, particularly talking about going and infecting other people. Like, my goodness. Anywho, the number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Let's see. Person that dialed in on the Skype line, I did neglect to mention I had the most difficult time attempting to call in today. Like, it was absurd. Like, I think I called about 15 different times. It was total stonewall. Like, lots of suspected racist interference. I know some other folks that said they had trouble dialing in as well, but wow, it was like way beyond the norm in terms of obstacle to being able to call in for the program. Person who dialed in on the Skype line, if you have commentary, you should be with us.
Yes, good afternoon, Gus. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I just wanted to comment that, first, to agree with the former speaker who mentioned tie the knot. I had never thought about that, but he described it the way that I was thinking about it after you asked about it. I thought about jumping the broom would originate from a people not thinking about hanging somebody by the neck until they were dead. But anyway, I just wanted to say that first. And then I wanted to say that if you're going to demonstrate a health, this is what I've observed. If you're going to demonstrate a healthy level of Black self-respect in the workplace, you know, we're just always going to be battling. I'm kind of tired, so I didn't really have the temperament to go through the battling and then also the pandemic and folks not cooperating with social distancing and so forth. So I decided to resign, and fortunately I'm able to do it because I've saved my money. I'm not a, I took care of that side of it. And I hope others are able to, if they don't have to be in this contentious, because I think it's going to get worse. I'm a positive thinking person by nature, but I'm just trying to anticipate and look down the road. And for me, my suspicion is that this is going to get worse. And so please try to, if you can, save your money as best you can. And if you can escape, this might be the time to do it. That's just something I wanted to say to the group. I'll mute my line.
Right on. That I think is Black self-respect. We had some other listeners who expressed the same logic and took the same action and said that they did not think people in the workplace were taking it seriously, and that they did not want to jeopardize their health and well-being being in that sort of reckless environment, in addition to all the, you know, normal white supremacy racism that would be there. And they just said, forget this. I'm resigning. I have saved up enough, and, you know, I don't even want to tolerate this. If you're in position to do so, that is spectacular. I think the Black male caller in China, we did a program with him a few weeks back. He was saying that a lot of victims in that part of the world, they had saved up, so they were able to not be at work for a couple of months and just get away, that helped them kind of mitigate the crisis. If you have that ability, spectacular. If you don't, I certainly understand. That's, you know, part of the design of white supremacy racism. That can be a goal for after all of this is over, to say, hey, I'm going to make that a goal to see if I can squirrel away enough that I have finances where I can pay my bills and I can stay afloat if it needs be for 6 months. Whatever I think a reasonable amount of time is, that's going to be my goal, to stash that away, save that away. That'll be my number one priority. And I would make that like an immediate priority because I agree. I also think that this could get worse, meaning having another round of this or anything like that. It's been so, just using logic, as she said, just trying to use logic. You know, I think we have a lot of folks who, you know, like being optimistic, like being hopeful about things. That's spectacular. I am optimistic that the system of white supremacy will be defeated. I also try to use logic, and just using there has been an appalling lack of logic in dealing with all of this. So I would not be surprised at all if there are more problems because this has been so incompetent and illogical in how it's been handled. But yeah, that's excellent for the workplace. Black self-respect, if you can extricate yourself, outstanding. If not, take every precaution, including speak up. That's black self-respect as well. Use your voice to speak up and try to address as many problems as issues as you can, safety being first and foremost. Make your safety a number one priority. Making sure I include Washington State, since that's where I am, so we can get an idea of different locations. So stay at home in effect since March 30th, set to expire in June. Oh, wait a minute. That's not Washington. That's, yeah. Washington State. Stay at home in effect since March 23rd and set to expire May 31. We also have another full month. Governor Jay Inslee, a Democrat suspected racist, extended Washington's stay at home order through the end of May. He said he would allow some local jurisdictions to petition the state for limited openings. They have listed that some parks and things will be reopening. It's not as warm here as it is in like California and Florida. Like we're not at 70 degrees and such out here. So I don't know if there is as much of a run. Plus we have cold water. Like you don't want to jump in the water out here at the beach. So I don't know if there's as much of a rush right now. I think if it was about 10 degrees warmer, there probably would be greater concern about the beaches and parks and things of that nature. But as long as it's kind of holding on to droopy Seattle spring weather, probably not the same level of crisis or emergency at the beaches and all. Anywho, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. We'll give folks like another 10 minutes. They have thoughts, observations, suggestions for the workplace. If they're taking it serious, please let us know. If they're not taking it serious, you can let us know that as well. If you have had to switch up your codification in the workplace, always good to know. Call her at 9192. If you have observations, suggestions, you should be with us.
Hello, Beth, I'm the caller. Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I will start off talking about the COVID situation. I'm in Ohio as well. I call a little bit, so I think I'll go by Golden. My job is in the financial services industry, so part of the workforce is working from home, but there is certain jobs that have to come in on site, as well as things like bank marts and those things. Early on, they began implementing some stuff with the COVID protocols that were being taken into place as they slowly shut jobs and different services down. Well, first of all, my job was willing to let people, because of the schools being closed, and if you thought you were compromised, to take additional PTO time that wouldn't count as your sick time or your vacation, and you were still going to get paid for that. We had some people take that up. There have been some people that haven't been at work for about 6 weeks, allegedly to return perhaps next week. After that, the people that were still on site, we kind of basically went through different things as far as cleaning, social distancing. The first thing I noticed was our employee lunchroom, which I call this where I work a compound because it's kind of a back-end operation. So we have like a large property, two big buildings, thousands of employees. So that's been dwindled down dramatically. We have huge lunchrooms. The first thing that happened, they tried to social distance in our lunchroom. People did not comply. Someone called the health department because when it became an order, it was mandated. The health department came in and they had to separate tables, and there was one chair per table, so they passed this information on to the employee. One person, one chair, no exception. This went on for a little while. No one was paying attention. They still put the tables together. They pull chairs, sit in little clusters. They let that go on for about a week, and then they took all the chairs and all the tables out. So there's no lunchroom, and that's closed, and that's been probably for maybe over a month. And this is with a few people there, so more people are going to come back. We have no lunchroom still, so there's nowhere to sit when you eat. You can stand up, you can go to your car, you can walk around on the campus and eat. I don't know. It's just not going back to how it was. Early on, we did have one person test positive in our building, but it wound up being a IT person who was in a very secure area. So their design was if anyone in our building tested positive, they were going to notify the department, and all those people who were in close proximity would be off self-quarantining for 14 days as well. Ultimately, I believe this man passed away as the first death here in our city or county because when they were reporting the cases, he wound up being like the second case that was on the news and then the first death, just based on his age and, you know, how they had started giving out the race and the age of the victims. Or I don't know if victim is the correct word for those who perish from the disease. Also, my job was giving those of us who had to stay on site, we did receive hazard pay. And I guess there's a question now, since we're not or hadn't been able to take vacations, if we'll get paid out our vacation time also. But since they took away our lunchroom, they gave us free lunch for probably, I don't know, maybe been 5 weeks that they've been offering us free lunch. And then probably Wednesday or so of this week, they transitioned to saying they're no longer, starting Monday, May 4th, we're no longer going to have a lunchroom like we remember it. They'll just be grab-and-go items, and they're going to a cashless system. So you'll have to pay with a card or, you know, an account that you can put money on and use just a kind of like a generic card. So that'll be coming up next week. And as you already reported and Red said, our governor did extend the order that was going to expire tonight at 11:59.
And part of that is part of the things that he signed in were now the employers will mandatorily have to supply workers with masks or face coverings if that's your choosing. We've been cleaning, we've been doing the distancing. There's a lot more labeling because the people who've been out of the office since late February, early March, they're going to be coming back in and not knowing the proper protocol, so they've been doing a lot of labeling. There's one person in the elevator going certain ways. We're not really mandated to walk, you know, like down a certain aisle, but in doing like workflow and different jobs, they're recommending people do things a certain way, stagger times, they've moved seating, they've adjusted schedules. So from that respect, I think they're trying to stick with the recommendations. And but one thing we didn't do was the temperature checks. They elected not to do temperature checks because that wasn't a requirement. But coming Monday, there'll be a requirement for everyone to wear masks, and the job is supplying those and gloves, which is a recommendation. And I have one more. Well, I have two things. One is going to be about a baby shower at work. There was two pregnant women, one black and one white. So the black woman has been hired like less than a year. So her maternity leave was not going to kick in. So one of the leads said, you know, in talking to her, she was going to need a lot of stuff. So she decided to just throw a party. And if people could give stuff, then that's fine. And if not, you know, because she was really stressed out about being off for six weeks unpaid and, you know, just really going through some stuff. So wound up having like a really wonderful party, and she got a lot of stuff. I don't know if to say it. I really want to say it was obvious that the lines were split between who gave, you know, and supported her between like black and white. Well, one of the managers came up and said, well, I didn't know anything about this. He came to me and said, well, I didn't know anything about this, and I wish we could have had a party with the white lady. And I said, well, I don't think that would have been appropriate because women like to have their own thing first of all, but we'll go ahead and get something for her schedule. So he, you know, really kind of made a big deal about not really approving of it and, you know, wanted to set something up. And he kind of made the lead who had set this up really feel bad. And, you know, she came and talked to me about it. And I said, no, I talked to him. And I just pointed out that his last pregnant employee, he never had a baby shower for her. So it would not be correct for him to expect us to include employees of his that he does not set. You know, that's not his thing to do. And I just pointed that out to him. And I asked him if he would like one of us to help you set this up, then we would be more than happy. And I'm sure that she will appreciate anything. And this is going to go back to Christmas. I know this is a while back, but I've been wanting to tell this. We had a white elephant, which I hate that game, and or the gift exchange, however it went. And if you look it up, if you Google the rules and the recommendations for how it is, it just seems very, very not nice when you look at some of the rules that it's built on being deceitful and snatching what you see someone has that's better than you, and it just involves a lot of trickery. So the more I read about it, I was thinking, I don't think this is something we should do. I said, well, why don't we just maybe exchange names or people write down three things they want? That didn't fly. It basically got down to just a handful of people that were going to do it. And, you know, I just kept trying to infuse something positive into it. I talked about how I have a fitness group, and we wrote down three things that we would get, and it was just very nice because it was very positive. I mean, people got books, people got journals. We gave each other tea. Everyone's very health-oriented. It was just very positive. The flip side, this one was just crazy. So I just wanted to put that in from going back to Christmas, and I think that'll be all. Thank you for listening.
Much obliged, Golden in Ohio. Couple folks out there in Ohio. Mr. Boehner, former Speaker of the House. Used to talk about him all the time with Dr. Welsing. Let's see. These Christmas, those holidays, we talked about that for a long time. They're so tacky. The white elephant. The other names for that game are Dirty Santa and Yankee Swap. Now, they have other names, but those are some of the popular ones. Yankee Swap, Dirty Santa, White Elephant. Those are the names. And then, as she said, the deception, hostility, where everybody brings a gift, and then you just put them all in a pile or what have you, and then people go through and you either pick a gift or you take a gift that someone else has, and if you take their gift, then they get to pick a new gift. You keep going that way all the way through, like the deception and the snatching things from somebody else and gloating about that. Like, and this is supposed to be like White Jesus' birthday, and this is how we're going to celebrate. Let's see. I talked about that before. Other folks who said they've been on jobs where, like, some people did get to work from home or not work at all. Like she said, to some folks there where they got extra PTO and they've been chilling for 6 weeks, maybe more. Allegedly, they'll be back next week. These folks are not aware of the new protocols, like we don't have a cafeteria anymore and it's only one person on the elevator. Like, we had other folks who said, hey, we need to make sure that we have a protocol in place to inform these folks, maybe even let them know in advance about some of the new measures so that they're not coming in all, you know, la-di-da and hey, high five Ted, and you know, all the rest of it, give me a hug, I haven't seen you in such a, you know, like whoa. This is the new protocol. It's a new day, and it's not going to be like that maybe forever, hopefully. Like, no more hugging and all that other craziness. But it's definitely not going to be the way it was for a long time. So maybe even get an email out so that we can be proactive, as they say. And then, wow, like to have someone who passed away from the job. That's what I mean about the nonsense. Like in this environment where people are dying, reportedly from this, and then, you know, you've got to wade through, you got people out protesting, and there is no Rona, and all this is a lie, and what are we talking about? Like, come on. And particularly, someone dies in the workplace, like, whoa, what is the procedure? What are we doing? Should we shut the place down? Like, take this seriously. Like, my gosh, like, man, I'm sorry that happened, and I hope that they, you know, are doing everything. And she said that they weren't at first. They weren't taking this serious. She said about the cafeteria. She said people were going, and if I understand it correctly, she said that they had to write one person, one seat. Now, to me, that suggests that you got folks sharing the same chair at work, and I said, like, what is going on? Like, that would be what is going on even if there were no health pandemic. Like, what? Like, no, I am not. We're not sharing a chair. I don't care how big it is. We're not sharing a chair. I'm not sitting in your lap. Like, I don't care if we're both really, really tiny people and we could both, you know, get our full hind parts down in the chair. Nobody is sitting on anyone's lap. That is way too close for a professional environment. I wouldn't care if I was there with my spouse. We're not sharing a chair at work. That was staggering in and of itself that would have to be written into the workplace coronavirus policy. One person, one seat. That should be the case anyway. I am not surprised about them not taking it serious and them getting to the point where they had to take all the food, all the chairs out of the cafeteria. That does not surprise me at all. You got people out protesting in the streets and all the rest of it. There is no Rona. So, of course, we're just going back, the same way we always do with the cafeteria. That's why I said I would avoid all that anyway. That's what I had been saying before all of this. I would not engage in a whole lot of that. I certainly would not be hanging out there and all the rest of it. They got the new policy about the food. I guess they were doing free meals for the time being, and then they're going to have a totally new food policy. I would just be bringing my own food. I got it. We should be making enough money that we can be responsible for our own food. Thank you kindly. I don't need to use your refrigerator, microwave, utensils, nothing. That should be standard policy anyway. Let's see. They called the health department. I thought that was so gang. I don't know who that was. I don't know if that person did it, publicly or they just got snitched on, but that is spectacular. That is something that we can pick up right there. They're not being serious about this. They're doing donut day, pizza day, potluck dinners, all the rest, people sitting in folks' laps in the works cafeteria or anywhere else. Call the health department. You can get pictures. Bam. Call the health department. They are not taking it serious. They have got all kinds of shenanigans. They're not doing social distancing. People are bringing in food and blah, blah, blah. Call the health department. Call other powerful white people, because that's what you'd be doing, essentially. Call in other powerful white people and have them come in and get things straight. That is bravo. Bravo. That is outstanding. Whoever did that, snitch away. This is a time to snitch. And technically, that's not even snitch. If you look at the definition, you are just reporting incorrect behavior that could jeopardize the health and safety of the general public. Folks get there, get sick, and then take it home to their family and all the rest of it. So that's not even snitching. You are reporting unsafe, incorrect behavior. Much obliged, Golden in Ohio. Stay safe. Speak up in the workplace. Sorry, someone there even passed away. That is, terrible. Let's see. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you have commentary, suggestions, questions you would like to contribute. We'll give folks about another 5 minutes if they have questions, comments they would like to share. If this is being taken serious in your workplace, are they joking about infecting black people on the job where you are? Do they have a protocol? That would be good to know, particularly in just hearing different states, being able to kind of compare and contrast based on geographic location. Again, we should be here tomorrow. 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific for the compensatory call-in. We'll review what has transpired over the past 7 days worldwide with regards to the health crisis and other things related to racism, white supremacy. Tune in tomorrow. We'll exchange views. Hopefully have something constructive to offer. Again, we'll be looking to have folks from different parts of the world on the program. I think it would be very informative for myself, hopefully, and a lot of other folks to hear what is happening in different parts of the world. How are they responding to this? What do they think about all this? What steps are being taken on their jobs? All of that. What has been said about, President Trump and all the rest of it? How are they viewing what's happening here? It would be good to hear all of that information and more. So I will report. Those will probably be irregular broadcast times, but I'll try to give as much advance notice as possible so that folks can check in. The archives, you can hear Black Male, listener in China. He was with us just a few weeks back. I thought he had a lot of great information, great perspective, being that he's in China and they kind of went through a lot of the lockdown stuff earlier. It's in the archives, should be available at iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, Black Talk Radio Network. Lots of outlets where you can check out the archives, get some of the older material. If you missed out, we've had a lot of programs dealing with the virus. Dr. Vanessa Grubbs was with us just yesterday. She was with us before in 2017, had her back on the program yesterday. We had Dr. Sylvia Hood with us last week, Professor Vanilla Randall, lots of medical professionals on to share their thoughts about what we should be doing and taking this all serious. So hopefully the archives are worthy of your time and energy, and we've had some constructive content in the midst of all this. Last time, number 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Let's see here. We'll encourage folks to make sure if you have a workplace code, man, this is a great time for a thorough evaluation. Does it make sense? Is it keeping me safe even under the current conditions? Like, that would definitely be cause for adjustment. We should be making adjustments to our code to try to make it better, make improvements anyway, but this is definitely a time, like, wow, under emergency situations, can I rely on my code, or do I need to make adjustments? Does this call for, you know, special changes, things that I do, things that I'm not doing, given our current circumstances? If you are making changes, you can let us know. Looks like we'll be dealing with this for a while, so I guess that's something to kind of keep in mind as well, that this is going to be something that's with us for some time. Man, if we have to function in this way for the next, let's say for the end of the calendar year, which some of our guests have said is going to be the case, man, is my code going to be looking any different by December? Like, man, thinking of it that way, this is something that I think I can rely on if all of this stays the same. Distancing, the hand washing, you know, all of this, if it kind of stays in place to some degree for the rest of the year. Anything I need to, you know, brush up on with my code, we can be thinking about that also. Folks have commentary they want to make sure they get in.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just wanted to say, I know earlier you talked about how black businesses were not able to participate in some of those programs. I don't know if it was because they don't think they can afford accounting services or things like that. If you do want to look into those, there are a lot of changes. And again, I work, I help wellness. I guess I kind of help people with that if they call and have questions. Because I know one customer called about some law that, and I work in it, and I didn't know. And he's like, well, because he noticed the legislation changes and things like that. So this is the time if you do have a business. If you can't even afford an accounting professional, a lot of the tax preparation companies online and things like that, they're keeping up with those, so you want to call them and ask questions. I know where I work, we had a seminar on it. There's a lot of information, and some things may or may not apply to you, not just getting the stimulus fund. So you do want to do that, because things are changing a lot. And I know the company I work for, they're doing a pretty good job on keeping up on things like that. So you want to do that.
Excellent suggestion.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Excellent suggestion. Reach out for resources, because they might even have some free resources available in the midst of all of this. If it's helped getting some of the paperwork filed and that type of thing. Some of that might be available. It might just be a matter of checking, and you might have to do some online looking and that sort of thing. Hopefully you have internet access that you can check out, but check around, investigate, try to see if you can get assistance if you need it. And I think some of our listeners said that they got help in filing some of the unemployment paperwork so that they could get paid. If you need to check around, if you have a friend who can sit down with you for a few minutes, a half hour, hour, whatever it is, at a computer and get things done, wear a mask. Great. Sit outside even and wear a mask. But yeah, try to get help if you can. Resources are available. Were there other folks, comments, questions, observations that they want to make sure they get in? Grant, we'll assume folks are satisfied for the time being. Again, we will be here tomorrow for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We will review what has gone down the past week, including gun-toting, mask-wearing white men and women across the country. Wowie. What a time. Spring of 2020. Man. But we'll be here tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. Let's do everything that we can to keep our brain computer working to the best of its ability. We got a lot of important decisions to make, lots of logic to process. Gonna need our brain working at optimal ability. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled. Again, it's a lot of armed whites who are out walking up and down the streets, mad. some places are still under lockdown. We are. Some of the other locations, Ohio, it's probably going to be enforcement officers. Certainly there'll be whites ready to snitch, being nosy. You probably want to be strategic about going out. I would recommend not going out after the sun goes down. Like, get whatever materials. I know the grocery stores in most places are not even open as late as they normally would be. So there are many, at least here, there are many fewer places to go after sundown anyway. So I would recommend not going out just because we are in a system of white supremacy. And then on top of that, this is an emergency. You have a lot of armed, anxious race soldiers. Just doesn't seem like a good time to be out and about willy-nilly. I would be very strategic. If you are going to go out, you are sober. You are buckled. If you need your essential worker paperwork or whatever it is, you got your mask, whatever, hand sanitizer. Do your check before you leave. And you're very strategic about where you're going. This is not joyriding time, out cruising, not at all. After you have done all of that, you want to make sure you're not on the cell phone. If you're going to be behind the wheel, no excuses. We don't want any reason to have a race soldier calling to snitch on us. Got this random nigger out here. He's stolen a car. She's not going to the store, someplace essential. Probably out looking for crack cocaine. Don't need any of that right now. No excuses. Try as best we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. Be buckled up if you are going to be out at all. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. No name calling. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Yeah. I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned. Ah!